Chapter 2. Alexandria was coming home. All of the family was gathered at the manor house for Christmas, and she was returning after almost 11 months away. Jameson had insisted on driving down to London to meet her, even though she had begged him not to over the phone, thinking that the drive might tire him out too much. Surely her father could have a car delivered and waiting in the airport's parking lot for the drive from Heathrow to Oxford, she had thought. But Jameson simply scoffed at the notion over the phone, stating that the day he was not able to care for one of his charges would be the day he would meet his maker again, so Alexandria acquiesced. The two chatted about all that had been going on with her new position at the United Nations in New York, where she worked as an interpreter for multiple language divisions. After Alexandria entered boarding school when she was 13, she discovered that she could quickly grasp any language she heard, so she fed this new talent feverishly. To the current date, she had mastered 22 currently spoken languages. She only confessed to speaking 14 fluently, hoping that the additional languages would pay off at a later time in her career. She was determined not to show all her cards to anyone just yet. The drive from Heathrow would take them a little under an hour and a half in heavy traffic, but Alexandria was glad for the time to unwind and breathe before she saw her family. Life had become exceptionally busy for Alex and her brothers as each pursued their own career, but they always made time to chat through Skype each week and texted often through their phones. Alexandria never felt alone, no matter how far across the pond she was. As the car traveled on, rocking gently to and fro, Alexandria absent-mindedly trailed her finger along the weather stripping of the car's window. She moved her finger forward and higher onto the glass, feeling the cool texture beneath her skin. Without thought to what she was doing, her index finger began to trace slowly looping infinity symbols over and over again. "I wonder what travels that finger is leading that little mind on tonight," mused Jameson, breaking through her mental wanderings. Alexandria chuckled. "Just thinking about being back here after such a long time away. And honestly, Jameson, wondering how long before I can take a long hot shower." "Ah, yes, the restorative properties of hot water. I believe it won't be long now, my dear, but something tells me there's a bit more lurking behind this pensive silence that has come on in the last 10 minutes, probed Jameson. Alexandria turned her head slowly towards Jameson and gave him a leisurely smile. "You never miss a thing, do you, Jameson?" "Miss something?" scoffed the old man. "My dear, I haven't missed a thing about you or your brother since the day you were brought from hospital to your parents' home." "Now tell me, what has you so anxious, Alex?" asked Jameson, trying to sound nonchalant, but instinctively growing concerned over the worry that was painted clearly across Alexandria's forehead. Alexandria drew a shaky breath into her lungs and ran her hands up and down her thighs while she contemplated how much she should disclose to Jameson. She knew that this man was her greatest confidant and had always held her best interests at heart. If she could confide in anyone, it would be him. "Jameson, I have always been able to tell you anything, even more than I was ever able to tell my parents, so I know I can trust you won't mention this to anyone," she trailed off, holding her breath for his confirmation. Jameson took a hand from the wheel and placed it over his heart in an attempt to look mortally wounded. "Oh, I think my heart will recover sometime this week. When have I ever told anyone anything regarding you that they did not need to know?" He pursed his lips and looked over his glasses at her. That stern look melted the last of her resistance, and she shook her head. "Never, sir, not once. I'm really all right. I just feel a little uneasy, and I cannot really explain why," sighed Alexandria. "It's just the last 2 days a growing sense of disquiet that has made me a little jumpy and sad." "That sounds peculiar, doesn't it?" asked Alexandria, chuckling nervously as she ran her hand through her long hair. Once again, Jameson glanced over his glasses at her and slowly shook his head. "Nothing you notice is ever odd or out of place, Alexandria. You know that. You learned early to trust your instincts enough to know that your body sends you signals, forewarning of events to come. Though you've had a long period without incident, you told me that the mysterious figure who visited you so long ago promised that your abilities could return one day. I suggest that we watch carefully and prepare for whatever the days ahead shall bring." "Of course," said Jameson after a brief pause, "it could be that you're just nervous about the inevitable hazing your brothers are surely planning to dole out, or enduring yet another round of your mother's incessant matchmaking." Alexandria and Jameson looked at one another and then burst out laughing simultaneously. Gracious, her mother's matchmaking, she thought. Now that was enough to have the stoutest warrior quaking in his boots, looking for any means of escape. It felt so good to let the tension ease away, and Alexandria was content to leave the worry behind along with the kilometers they were traversing. The house was ablaze in lights, and Alexandria could see at least 3 Christmas trees twinkling from various windows as the car made its way up the pebbled drive. Candles flickered in all of the front-facing windows, and an oversized wreath of fresh-cut evergreens hung on the manor house's large oak door. Home, sweet home, she thought to herself. Though she was pursuing her life in New York, if the truth were told, she had yet to make any real connections to the place. She had a very comfortable routine established, and the apartment her parents had helped her purchase on the Upper East Side was not large, but comfortable and safe. She enjoyed walks in the park and weekends spent perusing the stacks at the public library. But try as they might, her colleagues had yet to pull her into their social goings-on, as Alexandria still felt far more comfortable in the company of Jane Austen or Charles Dickens than a rowdy group at a nightclub or bar. "You're old before your time, girl," Susie often teased her. Susie was a receptionist in the offices where Alexandria and six other interpreters worked. She was a sparky, giddy lady with spiky red hair who kept them all abreast of the latest office gossip, whether it was true or not. Alexandria had at first tried to refute the observation, but finally found it easier to agree and play the part to staunch any unnecessary time arguing with Susie over the finer points of her not-so-outgoing personality. "Sometimes it's just easier to give them what they want," she often thought to herself. Alexandria climbed out of the car and stretched her hands high above her head, rolling her head and shoulders as she tried to work out the kinks. She walked to the back of the car and began helping Jameson with her luggage. She had packed too much, as usual, 4 large checked bags and 2 carry-ons. "What the heck did you bring home with you? Half of your flat, Alex?" shouted Wallace from the top step. "Right on cue," mused Alexandria aloud to herself. Before she could stifle her smile, she was swept up into an all-consuming bear hug. She squealed with delight and held on for dear life. "Put me down, Wallace," she implored, but her attempt at earnestness was stifled by the fact that they were both giggling. As soon as her feet had brushed the ground, she was soundly handed off to Connor, who had come out right behind Wallace, and he happily swept her up as well and hugged her warmly. "Hi, sweetie, how are you?" asked Connor. "Good, and you?" she smiled up at her brothers. She was always in awe of how tall and handsome they both were. Wallace, dark-haired and hazel-eyed, and Connor, fair-haired like herself, with sparkling blue eyes. No wonder ladies were always trying to get them to glance their way. "Oh, you know, tired after a long flight, but happy to be back," confirmed Connor. He had recently been to Washington, D.C. to share some of his archaeological finds with a rather large symposium, and had just arrived back across the pond as well. She stepped forward and hugged them both again, then soundly slapped their arms. "Come on, we can't leave Jameson to get all of these bags by himself," she said, turning back towards the car. "Bossy as ever," smirked Wallace, but he was smiling as he began to banter with Connor, who would carry the heaviest bag in. Alexandria chuckled to Jameson, who stood arching an eyebrow at the three. "Hopeless," he sighed. "I tried, I really did, but absolutely hopeless." Coming inside the manor's immense foyer, Alexandria paused and breathed in the smells of Christmas at home. Her mother had every available surface richly decorated. The entire entryway was decked out in fresh evergreens, mistletoe, and several small Christmas trees were flanking each side of the grand staircase that led to the 2 stories above. Alex smiled and turned to her brothers as they stepped inside behind her. "How many this year?" she mused, biting her lower lip to keep from giggling aloud. Wallace just shook his head. "I think I stopped counting at around 30 trees this morning." "Yes," sighed Connor. "Nothing like an understated Christmas back home, huh?" They all started laughing at once just as their parents walked in, happy to welcome Alexandria back home again. As they hugged and chatted, the family made their way to a large sitting room that served more as a den and was their traditional gathering spot. An enormous fireplace which anchored one wall was ablaze, its mantle layered thick and deep with candid shots of the family through the years. Large couches and overstuffed chairs were arranged for conversations and gathering throughout the space. Several large rugs made the hardwoods more comfortable to walk on, and the father had placed quite a few bookcases filled to the brim around the walls as well. Even though the manor boasted an impressive 2-story library, Lord Errol felt it important to keep literature close at hand wherever he relaxed, so books were an integral part of each gathering room's decor. The room's ceiling soared over 30 feet in height, yet it felt warm and cozy to those lounging. They spent the next hour catching up with one another, and Alexandria felt herself relax in the warmth and safety of her caring family. Jameson came to the doorway and called them all to dinner, and they rose to walk to the spacious dining room, still talking as they made their way down the hallway. Lady Juliana and Lord Errol walked on either side of Alexandria, and her mother gently stroked her back, while Alex described a new neighbor in her apartment building who played music too loudly, often late into the night. Wallace looked back over his shoulder and told her to play her own music and drown out the pesky neighbors. but Alex and their parents all pursed their lips at Wallace and shook their heads in admonishment. As soon as they were settled, Lord Errol asked one and all to pause as they bowed their heads and joined hands to say grace together. Once the meal and fellowship were blessed, Jameson came and took his seat at the table, passing platters of food around so that each person could take what they wanted. It was how they had always dined, when they were alone as a family, and Alexandria loved the lack of formality they enjoyed in one another's company. She remembered once, when she was 11, her Uncle Benedict dropping by unannounced during the dinner hour and asking why Jameson was sitting with them at the table. Her father had quickly subdued his impertinence when he told his youngest brother that Jameson was at their table far more than most family members, and he was just as much a part of their set of loved ones as was her Uncle Benedict. Her uncle had humbly apologized and then asked if he, too, could join them. Their conversations continued to flow throughout the shared meal, and Alex smiled over her brother's and Jameson's topic of choice. Though they all knew it to be mischievous, both Wallace and Connor sought to brush up on the local goings-on with Jameson whenever they came home to Oxford. Lady Juliana caught Alex's eye, and the two shook their heads at one another. Alex felt herself chuckle over her brother's need to stay tapped into what was truly none of their concern. After dinner, Alexandria made her way to her bedroom, fully intending to curl up with a book in one of the family's Labrador retrievers. Most likely Dudley, as he seemed to be attached to her more than anyone else when he had his pick of the entire Groban clan. She knew the following day would be a fun-filled one, with lots of family coming for Christmas dinner and the exchange of gifts, so Alex hoped to get a little rest before the crush descended. She had just come from a long soak in her bathtub, deciding a bath would help her more than a shower would, when there was a knock at her door and her mother peeked her head in. "Mind if I come in, sweetheart?" she asked, smiling. "No, of course not, Mother. What's up?" Lady Juliana walked over to Alexandria and gazed lovingly at the youngest of her children. She reached over and tucked a strand of wayward hair behind Alex's ear, something she had done 1,000 times before. "I just wanted to check in on you and make sure that you're all settled. Did you remember to bring everything you needed, or did you forget anything, darling?" Alexandria loved how thoughtful her mother was, but it had ingrained in her a fastidious need to always make a list for every event, trip, or occasion, and to check it at least 4 or 5 times. She rarely forgot anything, but she knew her mother liked to fuss over her, so she answered that she might have forgotten an extra pair of tights for the Boxing Day ball to be held in 2 days at Lord Linley's. An annual tradition, it was the event of the season that her family never missed if they were in country. "Well, that's no worry. I'm sure there are several pairs still in your wardrobe, so you should be fine. Did you bring 1 or 2 gowns? Her mother asked. "Oh, 2, of course. I wanted to have a backup in case something happened to the first, or if I had a change of heart about which one I wanted to wear," replied Alexandria. "Sounds as though you're prepared. Oh, it's so good to have you home, Alex," her mother sighed, and pulled her into a warm embrace. "I know you're a grown lady now, but you'll always be my baby." "You know, don't you?" Lady Juliana smiled as she asked her question. "I know, Mother, and trust me, as tired as I am right now, I'd be happy to be tucked in for a long winter's nap," laughed Alex. "Quite right, my dear. Well said. You and Dudley get into bed, and I'll leave you two to dream of sugar plums and brightly colored packages. How about that?" she laughed at her own words. Dudley, hearing his name, jumped on the bed and began to beat out a steady rhythm with his tail, welcoming Alexandria under the sheets. She hugged her mother goodnight once more and then climbed atop the bed. She looked over at the happy yellow lab, who was intently staring at her. "You know, Dudley, I think we'll skip the book tonight. I really don't feel up to reading. How about I just tell you a story?" This was a habit that Alexandria still held on to from her childhood. She would pick an object or random thought and then build a whole story for it and tell the tale to a family pet or just to herself. For Alex, it was another way to deal with the visions that had so invaded her mind as a child. By telling the tale herself, she felt in control, and that had, at times, seemed her only lifeline. Dudley thumped his tail once and leaned his head to the side as if answering her question. "Story it is, then," she confirmed. She settled herself beneath the covers and began to slowly stroke his coat, unwinding and letting her mind wander. All she could think of was the incredible amount of Christmas trees in their home that season, so she began with a tale of a little tree who longed to be brought indoors for the festivities. He had to wait for many a season until he was mature and robust, only to find that when he was large enough to be a Christmas tree, he preferred to stay outdoors where he was a part of the landscape and a home for many animals. Dudley seemed content, too, and he laid his head near her and slowly closed his eyes. Alex could feel herself fading, but she closed her story before slipping off to sleep. "The tree finally learned, Dudley," she yawned, "that sometimes it is better to choose to be who you really are, not who you think others expect you to be." And with that last thought, Alexandria fell into a sound slumber.